Christmas is for giving and for showing that we care, for honoring Christ the child with the loving gifts we share. The wise men gave of riches, the shepherds faith and love. Each gift in its own measure was smiled on from above. Let every gift be treasured, not always the size or price, determines the extent of love and willing sacrifice. Handsome gifts and festive trim bring smiles of sweet content, but modest gifts of humble means are oftentimes heaven sent. Whether it be large or small, each gift will share in part the message of true Christmas joy if given from the heart.
Great. Thank you, Christy. This morning as we give from the heart. And it's not the size of the gift, it's the heart of the giver. And so let's give to the Lord joyfully. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of the year when we remember the greatest gift you could ever give us, and that's the gift of your Son. And so, Lord, I thank you for the privilege it is to worship you by giving back out of some of the things that you've given us to manage and to be stewards of. And so, Lord, we come giving not to try to repay or to give back, but simply expressions of our gratitude, our thanks, and our love. And so, Lord, take these gifts, bless them, and bless each giver. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Thank you, Jamie. Those of you, if Children's Church is available, if you would like to avail yourself of that, Becky is back in the youth annex, if there's any children that would like to be a part of that. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, I thank you for, again, this time of the year that we can reflect on when you entered time and space. You took on flesh and became a man so that you could undo what the first Adam did. Your apostle John said that you came into your own and your own received you not, but to as many as did receive you, to them gave you the right or the privilege to become your children. So, Lord, I thank you for coming and giving your life as a ransom. And so, Lord, I pray as we open your word that the very familiar words that we've heard many times for decades might come to have a fresh place in our hearts. So, through your Spirit, honor your word, I pray, in your precious name. Amen. I apologize for the... I'm just a little hot there. I apologize for the misprint in the bulletin. Originally, I had thought on speaking on the love of Christmas and considered helping us understand that a little bit more. And I really wanted to focus on how the love of God has rescued us from the wrath of God. The love of God really has rescued us from the wrath of God. And so I'm running a Christmas special that today you get two sermons for the price of one. So that's a good deal. But some events this week have just continued to roll around. And so I decided to switch. I'm just burdened of what I wanted to speak on. And I began to roll around over and over in my mind as I read the Christmas story from Luke and the very familiar words of glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace. I don't know whatever angelic host was uttering those words, peace on earth, but they certainly weren't watching the proceedings in the U.S. House of Representatives. And so in one hand, I have my Bible and I'm reading about peace on earth. And in the other side, I watch the television or watch on my computer and see everything but peace and goodwill. Seems as the people's house have wished us with a Merry Christmas and by giving us a lump of coal. But setting aside partisan and politics, we maybe focus on our families and we think that, well, you know, my family will get together and there will, all my loved ones will be together and that will be peace on earth. Sometimes and sometimes not. So where is this peace on earth that the angels proclaimed and what were they meaning? Because it sure isn't in our government, it isn't in our society, it isn't even in our family gatherings and some of the most intimate relationships. What is this peace that the host of heaven announced? And so my heart was burdened as it seems like there is so much unrest, so much lack of peace, and yet they announce glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. They certainly couldn't have meant the absence of conflict, because even as they announced those words, Herod was planning and plotting to kill this newborn king. All of Jerusalem was troubled with him. Certainly couldn't have been peace in that sense. And so turn with me to the book of Luke, if you would, Luke chapter 2, to the very familiar Christmas story. And I think in order to understand what was it that the angels were announcing, proclaiming, hark, the herald angels sing. This glory to God and peace on earth. I think in order to understand that message that was intended to impart a blessing to all who would hear and all who would receive, I believe that we must keep together the words the angels spoke. So look with me at Luke chapter 2. I want to start reading the context at verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased. I think in order to understand this angelic message, we must keep together what the angels put together. The words are best understood as couplets, as they focused on glory to God. In the highest heaven and peace on earth, the glory is connected with the peace. The highest means the highest heaven has come down to earth, and it's between God and men. I think we can't separate these couplets, what they put together. There is an intentional contrasting of one or the other. There is an intentional putting together. There is a connection. A connection between God's glory as the condition and the source of peace. There is a connection between God coming down to men. There is a connection between heaven reaching to earth. God in His glory must be coupled with the peace that comes to man. Now, if you begin to think about this, and people are searching for peace, they want harmony in their family, they want harmony in their work environment, they struggle and try to encourage peace within society, within the government. But when you begin to talk about this coupling from heaven to earth, from the glory of God to the peace in men, they begin to say, wait, I don't want to get that theological. I just want things to fit together. I don't have any interest in contemplating the glory of God. I just have an interest in everybody getting along. They have no interest in truly admiring and truly treasuring the glory of God. They want peace, but peace on their terms. People are struggling for things better in their family. They don't want the anxiety. They just want peace. But I want to announce this morning with the angels that you cannot separate the two. You can't separate peace in your heart and in your family and your relationships apart from the glory of God. The angels won't let you do that. It's not the way they spoke it. God's purpose is to give you and all who will hear and receive peace by being the most glorious person in your life. God's purpose is to give peace to every person who will hear and respond and receive. But it comes to those who will receive Him as the most glorious person in their life. Glory to God in the highest of the heavens, and peace on earth. 5 times in the New Testament, God is called the God of peace. John 14, verse 27, Jesus, as He prepared to leave His disciples, He said, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, the Apostle Paul said, "Jesus Himself, for He Himself is our peace." You can't separate peace from the glory of God revealed in Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." God's glory came to this earth and it shone in the face of His Son, Jesus Christ. You can't separate peace from God's glory. Therefore, when someone says, well, I want peace, I just don't want the sovereign Jesus, they will never have peace. You can't separate what the angels linked together. God's glory brings peace. The highest heavens is the source. It's not going to come from just, well, I'm trying to do goodwill to men. That's an unfortunate translation of the last part of verse 14. We can't just do enough good that eventually we're going to bring peace, either on the inside or around us. It is God coming down to men. You can't separate what the angels link together. The key, we're going to have to get some new batteries or something. Back one more. The key to peace is the glory, is glory to God and peace to men kept together. The key to peace is the glory of God and peace to men kept together. You cannot have peace without connecting it with the glory of God. A heart bent on seeing and showing the glory of God will know the peace of God. And so, what holds these two together? On one hand, I want peace, and I see that the angels connected them together. The peace that I long for is connected with the glory of God, then what holds them together? And I think the answer is a heart bent on glorifying God. We'll see in just a moment the last part of that verse 14, and I think the best way to understand it. But that peace on earth will come to men with whom God is pleased. And the men with whom God is pleased are the ones who receive His glory. God isn't pleased, and He will not impart peace to those who do not receive the glory of His Son. When we begin to make much of God's glory in Jesus Christ, when we begin to display the beauty of God, when we begin to admire Him and treasure Him and hallow Him and enjoy Him, that's when there is peace. I'm going to say this, and I say it intentionally, and I say it emphatically. But the absence of peace that we see from the White House to the House of Representatives, to our homes at Christmas time, is the failure to make much of the glory of God. That's why we are in the shape we are, because we have failed to make much of the glory of God. It's not simply getting some pages of the Bible back into school, or simply saying a prayer before your class starts for the day. It is getting back to where we make much of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And that's why there's no goodwill. That's why there's not peace. Because we've said we want peace, we don't want nuclear war, we don't want that, but we don't want Jesus Christ. And there will not be peace until we make much of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Not in the White House, not in the House of Representatives, not in your house, or not in your heart. we see the absence of peace around us because we have disconnected it from the glory of God in Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, the last part of verse 14, the old King James Version translates it, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. It's not just an issue of goodwill or we're trying to do the best or God is going to be good towards us. Virtually all modern translations agree that was probably not the best translation. The ESV says, on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. The NIV says, on earth, peace to those whom His favor rests. The New American Standard says, peace among men with whom He is pleased. He said, there will be peace upon those with whom God's pleased, and those with whom He is pleased are the ones who receive His Son and make much of His glory. The point is that even though God offers peace and peace goes out to all, it is only to those who see and embrace and endure His glory. Those on earth who will receive His glory are those who will experience peace. The message is true. Peace on earth. But it's connected with His glory. My great desire for you this Christmas is that you enjoy the angelic peace that the host announced. It is real. It is possible. Now, I'm not talking about just simply the absence of conflict, because we know that the peace in its ultimate sense will not come until He comes back. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7 says, of the increase of His government and of peace, there will be no end. It will ultimately, as the other prophet said, it will be as the waters flow over the land. It will be peace throughout the earth. But I believe that when those angels announce the glory of God in the highest, and on peace on earth, that Jesus Christ came to inaugurate, to start His peace. And He starts it within the heart of His people. To those with whom He is pleased, those who will receive His glory manifested in His Son. Jesus came to inaugurate that peace. And as we think about it this Christmas and the clear connection, if I'm going to have peace, it's connected with the glory of God in His Son. How is that lived out in my relationships? First of all, I believe it starts with peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says that we're justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have told this time and time again, nearly every Christmas for the last 30 years, but Christmas has such a special memory and time with me because it was on Christmas Eve that I knelt beside our couch on Bering Street and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The enmity, the alienation that was between God and me and not accepting His Son was suddenly brought back in harmony. The angels were announcing that healing of estrangement between God and man. The healing, the togetherness, the wholeness, as things ought to be, are brought back in Jesus Christ. And so, regardless of how long you've been in church, regardless of your age, regardless of the things, the activities you've done, I challenge you, I remind you, that do not let this Christmas come without being absolutely sure that your faith, your trust, your hope, your confidence is in the glory of God in Jesus Christ. That's where peace begins. That's why the angels and hark the herald angels could say, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. God and sinners brought back together in Jesus Christ. But as we approach this Christmas, I think as well there's peace within ourselves. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We live in a world, and our inner world is on assault by all the things around us that want to create anxiety, that want to create fear. That is one Christian acceptable sin, is worry. Well, you know, I worry. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, Jesus didn't say that's an acceptable sin. And so I believe that God wants us to have peace. Christmas should not be a time of anxiety, a time of worry. In fact, those are the opposite of peace. I was just talking with somebody this past week, and they were very stressed about that and some different things. And they said, "Well, you know how I am. I'm just a worrier." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, but that's not an acceptable sin." And so I began to ask them. I said, "You know, is your faith and trust in Jesus Christ?" "Oh, absolutely." "Well, do you believe that God is ultimately in control of all things?" "Well, yeah, I believe He's in control." "Do you believe that He knows how many days are numbered for you even before one of them begins?" "No, yeah, He knows my days." Then I said, "What do you have to fear? You know who's in control. You know your relationship with Him. You know your days are numbered. There's nothing you can do about it." So we can truly have peace and take those things that the world pushes that may want to cause us to be anxious and to cast them upon Him because He cares. And so this Christmas, do not be anxious. Don't wring your hands and worry. Instead, I would encourage you to just bend your knees. And lastly, as we think about this glory of God that is intended to bring peace to this earth, finally, peace with others. I don't know, this may look a little shot of some of your gatherings that are coming up. And, you know, as much as possible, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, be at peace with all men. As much as it depends upon you, you're going to be with family and they maybe don't always treat you right. But if you've embraced the King who came as sovereign Lord, your days in life are in His hands. You've cast your cares upon Him. I believe that you can experience peace even when not everybody treats you the way that you would like or they should. In fact, I want to give you a key as you think about some gatherings, and maybe you've already had some and you made it through, you bit the bullet and you could endure for a couple hours. But I want to encourage you that I believe a heart bent on His glory, a heart determined to display His likeness and to adore, to cherish, to love the glory of God in Jesus Christ, can be at peace even in the midst of family conflict. In fact, as you think about maybe some gatherings that you have coming up yet, and you know, I would encourage you, don't make it your success or your effectiveness in trying to be a peacemaker. It always ends up in disappointment. "Well, I'm going to try to get along. I'm trying to be in the peace." Look, make it your goal to simply reflect Jesus Christ. And you can be at peace with that. Jesus certainly didn't make everybody happy, right? Is there anybody here that thinks that Jesus made everybody happy? No? So why do you think you're going to make everybody happy? You see, it's a faulty goal that only ends up in frustration, anxiety. Make it your goal to simply be like Christ. To reflect His love, His acceptance, His patience. Your supreme desire is to love and adore Him. So as you prepare to celebrate Christmas, to go into some situations, make it your goal simply to adore Jesus Christ in the midst of those relationships. I believe there can be peace. Treasure Him. Value Him. Allow Him to live through you. And you can have the peace of heaven in your heart. The Christmas hymn that we sing so often, O Come, All Ye Faithful. It has the chorus, O Come, Let Us Adore Him. And I would just like to close this message by us just singing a cappella. We're going to skip the other song that we had planned and just simply sing together the chorus, O Come, Let Us Adore Him. It's 105 in your hymnal if you need it. But as you think about the peace on earth by adoring Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to just adore Him. Let's sing together, O Come, Let Us Adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Let's sing it again. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Amen.
Millie, would you come? Thank you.